The Franchise Geeks present Social Geek Radio. Hello, geeks. Jack Munson here, your social media consigliere. Today's episode is brought to you by Social Joey and Franchise Soft. Before we jump into today's topic, I want to give a quick thanks to the IFA and the entire IFA staff for putting on a great show last week, the Emerging Franchisor Conference in Miami. We had a great panel, a lot of great engagement and questions from some new brands and some emerging brands on social media trends. All of those presentations can be found at franchise.org and all of the IFA social media sites, and we'll have links to those on the socialgeekradio.com website as well. So speaking of social media trends for brands, today we're talking social media trends, including some video, some augmented reality, and some influencer marketing with today's expert, Brendan Gann, founder of Epic Signal. Brendan, thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio.
Thanks so much for having me. Pumped to be here.
So before we jump into some trends, tell us a little bit about your company and background. What's your story?
For sure. My background and kind of how I got to social media as a whole was, right out of college, I got an internship in advertising and was more or less the young guy in the office. And it was 2005, that era when MySpace was becoming a thing. And, you still had to have your college email to be on Facebook. And it was nice because I was essentially kind of the de facto resource for all things social, because I was the only one who had access to Facebook and so on. And so really just ran with it from there and did some early influencer marketing campaigns and really focused on it. And, throughout my career, on the agency side, and then maybe, about 4 or 5 years ago, I started up Epic Signal. It was originally focused on really social video primarily, in particular influencer marketing and working with brands on their YouTube content strategy. About 3 years ago, we were acquired by a larger creative agency Mechanism and has since broadened our capabilities. So we're more of a full service social media agency doing everything from community management, content creation, analytics and reporting, media buying, and so on. Still do a lot of the influencer marketing, and I think social video is very much kind of a point of differentiation for us, but really have a much broader suite of kind of skills that we provide.
You know, thinking about video and social media influencer marketing, now it seems like it's just part of what every brand does and every agency does, but for you guys to be that much in front of it 5 years ago, 5 years ago was a really long time in social media terms. So you were really sort of on the frontier of influencer marketing back then, I think.
I'd like to think so. and certainly in my career, I think, I did my first YouTube influencer brand deal back in 2006. And it was really an uphill battle for a long time trying to convince brands to do it, and especially that 2006, 2007, 2008, and pretty much pre-2010, it was very much, there was a lot of education, a lot of coaxing and convincing, but it was a really fun time because there weren't a lot of other brands or marketers playing in the space. And really, I got to kind of learn so much during that process, and because it wasn't a crowded space, I made a lot of great relationships in the process.
Yeah, it seems like those people that you were first connected with back when you got into social are some of the people that you still trust today, because at the time, it wasn't a sure thing. Everyone was experimenting. It was almost like, you were going through some sort of crisis and you bonded with those guys, right?
Yeah, I think that's totally correct.
So jump ahead from being very experimental 10 years ago, 12 years ago, to now, and you're working on, and you have worked recently on some campaigns for some really small brands that some of our listeners may have never heard of, like Starbucks and Amazon and a few other brands like that. Tell us about some of the work you're doing there. Tell me about the Starbucks Double Shot promotion.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, we're really fortunate. I think we work with a lot of great brands and do a lot of work we're really proud of. You know, Starbucks in particular, we've worked with them a bit in the past on their ready-to-drink brands. So Starbucks Double Shot, those kind of coffee drinks you can get in stores. One campaign in particular we did was this YouTube series called Starbucks Uploaded, where basically what we did was Double Shot, the insight really was, you know, we were trying to get basically primarily younger men who are in their, you know, first job, maybe second job, early to mid 20s, to pick up a Starbucks Double Shot, maybe instead of like a Red Bull or something like that. You know, you're kind of trying to be a little bit more mature in your career, but you need caffeine, and Starbucks Double Shot had protein, so it right. skewed a bit male. And, you know, that for that demo, you know, they're really interested in entrepreneurship, and YouTube stars in particular are, you know, celebrities to them. And so what we did was we created this great series where we had a host, this guy, Chase Jarvis, who's a respected entrepreneur in his own right, and, you know, has a great social following as well, and was really early on in YouTube, and he's a great photographer and director. He went around and he met up with a number of different YouTubers, and we did a whole kind of mini documentary series with each of them and got insight into how did they get started? What were the challenges they face as young upstart entrepreneurs? Because YouTube for them is their kind of entrepreneurial endeavor. And it did really, really well, generated millions of views. You know, really built up Starbucks Double Shot YouTube channel, more or less from nothing to tens of thousands in a matter of weeks. And, you know, in for this demo in particular, it really resonated with them because it was that perfect intersection of their interests as well as the people that they really kind of aspire to be and look up to, and, you know, the platforms that are relevant to them, you know, being YouTube.
And for the client, Starbucks, I assume that's a demo that they weren't really tapping into. They're probably not regular coffee drinkers, probably not people, you know, working in a Starbucks somewhere or, you know, really frequenting Starbucks. Is that correct?
Yeah. It was younger guys who they're really trying to kind of convince them to come on over to the ready to drink coffees as a way to get their caffeine and stuff, rather than, you know, this is a demo that historically has gotten that through, you know, your Red Bulls and Monsters of the world. So this would be kind of like a nice way to bring them over into the coffee world, but kind of through an intermediary step, basically.
Yeah. And they're also a demo that I think has really eluded marketers for quite a while. They're not easy to reach because they're not watching the TV programs and TV networks that advertisers had always hoped that they would watch, right? They're typically playing video games or somewhere where you can't easily advertise to them.
Yeah, I think through traditional channels, they're really difficult to reach. But, you know, if you kind of meet them where they are, they deliver, you know, content that they really value, you know, they'll sit there and they'll engage with it. I think oftentimes there's this perception, you know, you read all these articles about how, you know, millennials and Gen Z or whatever, their attention span is diminishing to, you know, that of a goldfish. And I don't necessarily buy into that. I think it's just that the majority of advertising out there is, you know, you're reaching the wrong people at the wrong time and the wrong medium. And if you kind of meet them where they are with content that they enjoy and like, they'll consume it. I mean, you know, to your point about video games, for example, like some of these guys are watching Twitch streamers for, you know, 4 or 5, 6 hours at a time. Mm-hmm. So they're willing to sit there and engage if it's something they're passionate about.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of lazy marketers out there that just want to say, you know, it's the consumer's fault. They're not consuming the right content that we want them to consume in the right place and the right time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me more about the Amazon Couchland project that you worked on.
Yeah, so, you know, us as Epic Signal have done a few great projects with Amazon and Amazon Fire in particular. And, you know, there's really this challenge in that, you know, in general, there's so much content out there. And what we wanted to do was educate consumers who already, ideally already have Amazon Fire, of the content that's available to them and make them aware of it. So what we did was we partnered with different influencers from a variety of different verticals to basically act as hosts on a series of videos where they would basically identify kind of like, hey, here's, you know, upcoming shows that you can watch, or hey, if this is, you know, for example, you're a fan of Game of Thrones and that season's over, you should check out this other stuff. And we kind of paired up different content to different influencers based on their verticals. So comedian influencers would talk about comedies and so on. And, you know, those programs, you know, we did a couple of them, Couchland and then another one, you know, this week on Fire. And also performed incredibly well. You know, that intersection of bringing influencers into the kind of the production process and then targeting the influencers' audience, both on their channels as well as via the brand channels with paid advertising, has really proven to be incredibly engaging for us. You know, with some of the series that we created, we actually targeted the fans with, rather than just teasers of these whole shows, like the full shows themselves on YouTube as paid assets. And, you know, we were getting 10, 11, 12 minute plus, you know, average watch time on these videos. Yeah. Wow. So it was pretty incredible. And so, you know, I'm kind of going back to what I was saying earlier. It's like, if you kind of meet people where they are with the people they care about and so on, you know, they'll sit there and they'll engage. And so, you know, that was considered a big success for us as well.
Yeah. I think the strategy there really works, because in that case, you already had their attention, and it was all about, how do we get them to stay? How do we get them to not go away when we already have, you know, this great audience and they're paying attention to something, they're already consuming some content. How do we get them to stay? So great work on that. Is there a place where people can see more about either of these campaigns or any of the other interesting influencer marketing things that you're working on?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, we've got a lot of case studies and stuff on our website, epicsignal.com. But if you go to the Amazon Fire YouTube channel, you can see, I believe, I could be wrong about this, but I believe Couchland is down due to rights, but I think Amazon Fire is still live. So you can Google, or sorry, not Amazon Fire, This Week on Fire. You can Google This Week on Fire or visit the youtube.com/AmazonFire, I believe it would be, or the Amazon Fire YouTube channel has a number of episodes up as well.
Cool. We'll check that out. Brendan, let's move into some trends. I want to talk of all of the stuff that you're neck deep involved in now. And I'm sure that includes some augmented reality and some other stuff with influencer marketing and different places where you're doing videos now. What kind of trends are you talking to your clients about jumping on and maybe staying out in front of for the next, let's say, year and a half?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. Well, I would say a few things. I think in terms of trends, in terms of like where the industry as a whole is headed, there are some broad ones and then some fun ones that we kind of like proactively pitch as more experimental. In terms of like where I see the industry as a whole kind of trending, you know, I think historically with social, so many brands have kind of taken a post and pray strategy and you know, with all, obviously all these algorithm changes and the fact that you can't necessarily control who you're targeting, this hasn't always necessarily kind of been the most effective. And I think instead of kind of the post and pray, I was thinking about a witty handle for this, but maybe something along the lines of like point and pay, like target and then pay to reach those audiences. You know, the kind of the synergy and the collaboration of like paid targeting on social and creative are so key. And I think a number of big brands have really been missing out on that. And that's why you've seen so many direct to consumer brands really come in and thrive, because they're not beholden kind of to older processes, but you know, and kind of, you know, these kind of you know, ways of working with agencies where, you know, you've got your media agency over here and they're not really talking to the creative agency and the social agency and so on. I think that's created a lot of inefficiencies. And I think moving forward, these have to be working together for brands to be really successful in digital and social. Another trend that I'm seeing more and more of, and something we've been pushing for a long time, is treating influencers and doing deals with them that are more akin to like an endorsement strategy rather than a simple kind of one-off. Historically, within, you know, the digital influencer space, brands have kind of come in, dipped their toes. They've, you know, oftentimes thrown a lot of money at influencers to do a brand deal. But then, you know, that influencer isn't necessarily, you know, once they've made that leap that this is their career, they need to kind of keep that going and they need to make revenue. And so if you do a one-off, what's to stop someone from going and, you know, working with a competitive brand down the line or so on? You know, and these guys really do have a lot of power and a lot of influence. You know, I think the big, big opportunity is working with them on an ongoing basis. So you can really get a lot of credibility with their fan bases. You can get category exclusivity. You can integrate them into, you know, your above line campaigns, events, you know, use them in the ads versus just their own channels. Time and time again, the more integrated we've seen these guys be, the more successful the campaign has been. And two, overall, you're kind of, you generate a lot of efficiencies, as well as economies of scale, if you're working with somebody on an ongoing basis.
It sounds like there may be some brands that, that are too worried about failing fast and, you know, well, we spent some money on some influencer marketing and it didn't work. So let's pull the plug and let's move on to something else instead of really, you know, building that, I guess you would say building the relationship between the influencer and the consumer, which is going to take some time.
Totally. And I think too, oftentimes it's a matter of brands just being very focused on campaigns, because maybe they'll have, you know, they'll keep doing influencer marketing, but they're not really thinking about like, oh, I've got a whole influencer marketing budget, you know, for the year, rather than kind of going really deep with a few guys. They kind of go in at it on a campaign by campaign basis. And then each time it's kind of like, you know, you're starting from scratch, you're scrambling, you're trying to onboard new people, vet new people, educate them, get them excited about it. And that's just not the most efficient way to work. You can get a lot of, you know, a lot of efficiencies if you've been working with somebody on an ongoing basis, you know? And then overall,
it's like they're spreading it out too thin because they want to hedge their bets with many influencers instead of really just going deep with one. Is that right?
Yeah. One or a few. And I, you know, I think it's all about working with the right influencers as well. And, you know, I think sometimes there's the like, oh, let's work with this guy. He's the new famous person. You know, then next quarter, it's the next one. And I think focusing on relevancy first and foremost is really key. Like Nike, you know, I think of Nike and Jordan as such a great, you know, collaboration. And you know, that's an, you know, I mean, they've been working together for, you know, 20 plus years. Nike didn't go and pay Jordan to wear shoes in one commercial or wear Nikes in one game and then let him go off and wear Adidas in another. You know, like, I think there are a lot of great principles that we've learned in marketing as a whole that we're not kind of carrying over just because it's a new medium.
Yeah. They're still selling me shoes now because of the marketing they did to me 25 years ago.
So yeah, yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about where some of this is happening. Where do you see the future trends, or what are the trends you're seeing on YouTube versus something like Instagram TV or Facebook Watch or Facebook Live? Where are you putting most of your time and energy these days?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the moment, the majority of the time and energy as a whole is going into the Facebook ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got a great system built up from a paid standpoint where that you can, you know, the back end dashboard, the ability to target, you know, Facebook and Instagram at the same time is hugely influential. Instagram more and more has been a focus for us. And is really, I would say, for not all, but the majority of brands, it's kind of become the emphasis. YouTube is still there, but for so many brands, you know, they still view production as video production is a pretty laborious kind of process, and yeah. That, you know, the ability to move quickly on video is really key for, I mean, not just YouTube, but a lot of these, platforms, and, you know, apply learnings over time, create episodic content. These are all the keys to success. And most brands we work with aren't quite at that level where they're comfortable with kind of moving that quickly. So I'd say Facebook and Instagram, and, no doubt about it. We've just seen, Instagram seems to be taking the lion's share of the market share from a consumer standpoint. We just had some college class come in this morning and kind of just did a Q&A with them. They're all ad students and stuff. And I kind of threw out some questions to see where they were spending their time. And everybody was like pretty unanimous. It's all Instagram.
Sure.
You know, they'll keep their Facebook account to log into things, but it's 90% Instagram.
Yeah. And, you know, we've talked on this show many times over the past few months that I think it's very telling that Facebook is putting more emphasis on IGTV than they are Facebook branded video, things like Watch and things like that. It's, I think old school thinking would have been let's really force video on Facebook as far as the long form stuff. But the fact that they decided to put that under the Instagram umbrella, I think says a lot about where they see it going as well. Yeah. So,
well, I think it's interesting. Yeah. Sorry.
Go ahead.
That it's like Watch. It's kind of like they kind of have, I think they, with Watch and Instagram TV, they can kind of have their cake and eat it too, in the sense that,
yeah,
you know, Watch seems like they're curating that a bit more. It is a little bit more focused on premium, longer form, and IGTV is kind of almost their answer to like the vlog style,
yeah.
More youth focused YouTube style content creator. And so it kind of seems like they're almost like nipping at YouTube on, you know, these two ends of the spectrum. And it seems like they're taking a really slow and, but I would imagine very deliberate approach and
kind
of how how and why they're doing that way.
I agree. I think they're hitting YouTube from both ends and traditional television from a couple of ends as well. So, and then the last thing I wanted to jump into briefly is how much are you doing now with augmented reality stuff?
Yeah. Augmented reality is something that comes up quite a bit. It is still something that seems to be more the thing in the room that, you know, in a pitch brands really like, but then when you come down to kind of costs and stuff is oftentimes one of the things that gets cut. But we have dabbled it with it a bit in the past. I know we've done some stuff on Instagram. We actually a while back created a very cool augmented reality video that was tied to a Doritos bag. And this was with Mechanism, which is the the creative agency that owns us. And I believe you can see that case study on our website, but it was, if you go to Mekanism, MEKANISM.com, there should be a Doritos case study up there, but we, created a cool, kind of like a symbol that you would basically pull up, you know, your phone and hold against it. And then, different musicians would kind of like their whole stage would kind of unfold and build and they'd play a show.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's still in that experimental stage. I think there's a big, big opportunity, and as AR expands more and more, and you know, I imagine over time, you know, eyewear will become kind of ubiquitous. It'll gain more and more traction.
Yeah, very good. We'll be back in just a second with some final thoughts and wrap up. But first, today's episode of Social Geek Radio has been brought to you by Franchise Soft. Franchise Soft is your all-in-one franchise management software, complete with a franchise development CRM and virtual brochure. Find out more at franchisesoft.com. Franchise Soft. Nothing hard about it. Brendan Gann, thanks so much for joining us today. If our listeners have additional questions for you, or they want to check out some of your work, where can we send them?
Yeah, for sure. So our website, you know, the agency website is epicsignal.com, E-P-I-C-S-I-G-N-A-L.com. I also have a personal blog, Twitter, Instagram, and so on. You know, I write a lot about the YouTube space and influencer marketing in particular. But you can find all that stuff at Brendan Gann, and that's B-R-E-N-D-A-N-G-A-H-A-N. And then, you know, that's either .com or, you know, that's my Instagram handle, my Twitter handle, so on.
Great. And we'll have links to all of those on the socialgeekradio.com website and our social media pages as well. Brendan, thank you so much for joining Social Geek Radio today.
Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
All right. Great. And thanks for joining, and good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.